If you notice in Genesis chapter 9 and the verse 13, those words, the Lord says, I do set my bow in the cloud. And again in verse 16, and the bow or the rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. One of the images emerging from the lockdown during this coronavirus pandemic is the many rainbows that have appeared in the windows, on the doors, and elsewhere in society. They literally are a sign of hope during a time of isolation and social distancing and lockdown. They have been placed there by children mostly to bring some joy to those who are feeling the pressure of being separated from their loved ones, from their friends. Children have written little lines to say that they miss going out and playing with their friends. They miss going to school, although I never miss that, but children miss that today. And they miss also going out and playing in the park and going out to do different things with their friends. And they've put little rainbows of hope and promise and rainbows of joy that they've called them. Some have coloured them in. Some have literally painted them on their windows. Some are little small, tucked away in the corner of the windows. Some are done the whole length of the window. And as I was driving around, coming to work here, to church here, and as I was out and about and a few times this week, I noticed those rainbows. I noticed in the windows all those children, and they're called rainbows of hope. And in other words, it's saying, look, have hope, because we will see each other very, very soon. Now, can I tell you something? That God has a rainbow. God has a bow. God has a huge rainbow that he puts into the sky after it begins to rain. And God said in the beginning of time, whenever there was a flood in the days of Noah, I do set my rainbow in the cloud. And long before children ever thought of the idea of using a rainbow as a symbol or a token of hope and joy and promise, God has already done that. He has placed beautiful rainbows in the sky, and they reach the entire canopy of heaven from one end to the other. And that rainbow is seen for miles and even for literally hundreds and thousands of miles. Some can even see the rainbow, and they are literally perhaps in another country and they can see the rainbow. And then in our own country after rain, we can see the rainbow. It's a wonderful rainbow of hope. A rainbow or a bow of joy in the midst of the dark clouds. And the darker the cloud, the brighter the rainbow. Now, can I say something to you in the context of our reading? After the flood waters subsided in the days of Noah, God commanded Noah and his entire family, 8 souls, to go forth out of the ark. And God blessed Noah and said, I quote, in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 9, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. And God established a covenant with Noah and all succeeding generations from Noah, chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. And as a token of that covenant, as a sign of God's promise to Noah, God says, I do set my bow, my rainbow in the cloud, and the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. I have no doubt whatsoever that whenever Noah and his family after the flood, they saw the dark clouds forming, they would have been reminded that those same clouds formed just before God judged and flooded and took away the entire population of planet Earth. And I'm sure they would have been fearful. And they would have been anxious whenever they saw the dark clouds darkening over the sky. Perhaps they would think God is angry again. God will destroy this earth again with a flood. Is God going to judge mankind once more for their sin? Will he sweep us all away after he has saved us all in the ark from his wrath? Noah would not know what to expect. Every time a dark cloud covered the sky or a little droplet of rain fell from those clouds. But God did something to reassure Noah. God put a rainbow in the cloud as a token, as a sign of the covenant, the promise he gave to Noah that he would never more flood the earth with waters. He would not destroy this earth with a flood ever again. So Noah, you have nothing to fear when you see a dark cloud. You have nothing to fear whenever you see the sky darkening and the rain felt upon your brow. You have nothing to fear, for I do set my bow in the cloud, and I have promised, and the bow is a promise of hope, a promise that I will fulfill. And so every time Noah saw the heavens beginning to darken and the rain starting to fall upon the earth, he would gaze up into heaven and he would see God's rainbow of promise in the cloud. Not on the window, not on the doors, not across society. God's rainbow in the sky, not on a flag and some parade in Belfast, but in the sky, in heaven. And it would reassure Noah that God is faithful and God keeps his promise. Please allow me today some license to do something that I feel I can do. Having given to you the context of the rainbow, I want to now take license this morning and this afternoon. And I want to spiritualize the passage. That is, I want to bring it into a different dimension. I want to speak spiritually to the people of God. We have seen the rainbow in its natural context. And I want now to give to you something spiritual. I want to give you a lesson concerning the rainbow. Because clouds often are used in Scripture to denote the trials and the troubles of the Christian life. Let me remind you in the book of Job, for instance, and the chapter 30, verses 15 and 16, where it says, "Terrors are turned upon me. They pursue my soul as the wind, and my welfare passeth away as a cloud." Everything that's wholesome and good, everything that's beneficial to me, it seems now to have gone. That's what the book of Job reminds us. And it likens it to a cloud that has disappeared. A cloud representing all that's good in my life and all that's beneficial to me. It's passed away and now I have nothing but trouble. It was Jeremiah who lamented, "Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through." Fear and a snare has come upon us. Desolation and destruction. It's as if a dark cloud has come into our spiritual sky and it's hid our God from us, that our prayer cannot penetrate and get through to God, and he hasn't heard our cry, and the days of affliction have now taken hold upon us. Now, we could multiply the references to the clouds as they are pictured in Scripture. They often denote the trials and the troubles of the believer because there are dark days in the believer's lives. There are many clouds that darken your spiritual sky that seem to hide the sunshine of God's love and mercy and grace. And some clouds are thicker and some clouds are darker than others. Sometimes you might have a bright sky, and yet some dark clouds and foreboding. It's not all sunshine and bright skies in the Christian life. We know that. There are many dark days. There are many difficult times. There are clouds that obscure the sunlight of God's face. It seems that the clouds have hid God's mercy, God's grace, God's help, and it seems that even God cannot shine through those clouds, that the sun in its natural setting burns through the dark clouds and burns through those clouds and the wind drives them away. It seems that these are sitting there as huge mountains between you and your God. But can I say to you, child of God, there's always a rainbow of promise in the dark clouds that God brings across your sky and mine. And having said that, I want to look with you today at some rainbows that will be seen in the dark clouds that often darken our spiritual sky. I want to think first of all of the dark clouds of our sin. and the rainbow of God's pardon. Now, how important that is, the dark cloud of our sin and the rainbow of God's pardon. For how often we are under this cloud, if we're honest before God. We let the Lord down. We fail the Lord every day. We don't love the Lord our God with all our heart. We don't love our fellow man as we should. And yet upon those two great commandments hang all the law and prophets. All that's required of you and me is summed up in those two great commandments, love to God and love to our fellow man. But we haven't loved God every day with all of our hearts. We haven't loved our fellow man as we should. We haven't always put God first. We haven't always worshipped Him and given Him the glory that's due unto His name. And we know our sins. Oh, we know them well. We feel our coldness. We know the corruption of our own nature. We know that we let the Lord down and we fail other people. And at times we're a disappointment. We know it and we know it well. No one needs to tell you, and certainly no one needs to tell me, that we are often under this cloud of transgression and sin and failure and letting the Lord down. And yet even in such a dark cloud, there's a beautiful rainbow of promise. We'll see that in a moment. It seems that our sky is often darkened, and I'm sure you will agree, by the foreboding cloud of sin and failure. Our love has waxed cold. Our service has been barren and dry. Our zeal for Christ has faded. Our spirit may even be at an all-time low. And we sin and we let the Lord down. And perhaps for some just now listening in, that's the case. There's a dark cloud over your spiritual sky. It's the dark cloud of your sin, your backsliding, your failure to love the Lord, and you feel it keenly this morning. And you're tuning in, you're listening, and you know full well it's a dark cloud of unconfessed and unchecked sin and continual failure. It's the gloomy fog, should we say, of backsliding and departure from Christ. Such clouds seem to thicken, and they threaten as each day goes by, a sin goes unchecked, unforgiven, unconfessed, and unwashed. And it now appears on the spiritual sky, and those clouds seem to separate between you and your God. They hide His face from you. It's not what the Bible says. Your sins have hid His face from you. That's a reference to the cloud hiding the sunshine from the earth. So the sunshine of God's face cannot be seen because the dark cloud of our sin is there. But then suddenly, in the midst of darkness like that, there comes the rainbow across the horizon, isn't it? The bow appears in the sky. There it is, in resplendent glory. Aye, and the darker the sky, the brighter it shines. Sin is likened to a cloud. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. It's as though God hath removed the cloud, the thick cloud of our transgression, and the cloud of our sin, and says to you today, I have blotted out thy transgressions. I have forgiven thy sin. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And when we sin against the Lord, our sin becomes like that thick cloud, but God sets a beautiful rainbow of promise today. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy sins and transgressions. And He says, return unto me. I have redeemed thee. What a promise in that rainbow of hope there is for you. And maybe that's where you are spiritually. Under the dark cloud of coldness, backsliding, lack of love for Christ. Can I tell you what a rainbow there is? And there are many rainbows. We could put any number of rainbows into that sky for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a rainbow that is. What a bow of hope that is. There's the dark cloud of your sin, and you feel your sin's too big. You feel that you're too far down in sin to be forgiven. You feel you've grieved the Lord, and could He really forgive and cleanse me from my sin? Well, here's a bow of promise for you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that a wonderful thing? all sin. The blood cleanses us today. Oh, come today, child of God. Wash and be clean. There's forgiveness with the Lord. Those clouds can disappear. The sunshine of His love, the warmth of His communion and fellowship are yours today. For I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Daughter, great is thy faith. Thy sins be forgiven thee. I, the Lord says, even I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Now, what a bow of promise. Come today and like David in the Psalm 51 or the Psalm 32 that were penned after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered Uriah. And David lived for 11 months under the dark cloud of sin. Then came the rainbow of promise when Nathan the prophet said, God hath pardoned thy sin. And David penned those two psalms on the occasion when the dark clouds disappeared and the rainbow of promise appeared. And he cried, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So the dark clouds of sin and the rainbow of God's promise. Can I take you to another thought? Secondly, I want you to think about the dark cloud of affliction and the rainbow of God's providence. Now, this is important because these dark clouds are over us now. There's not a person in this earth that's saved by God's grace, but they're under a dark cloud now. And even if you feel it's right between you and God, even if you feel that all is well between you and your Maker, I will say this to you. We are under a very dark cloud during this pandemic. We are under a very, very dark cloud. And there's danger today. There's affliction. There's anxiety. There's fear. I can tell you now, not just among the ungodly, but among those that are saved, there's anxiety about this virus. Nobody wants to contact it. Nobody would wish it on their worst enemy. You would not want for one moment to be smitten with this virus. And I'll tell you this, we're living in dangerous days. There's a dark cloud over the church. We can't meet. We can't sit as a corporate body of God's people in this house. It's empty. It's completely empty. We long for those days to return again when we will gather and be able to say with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. That'll be a happy day. But we're under a dark cloud. And not only that, but there are personal afflictions and troubles and fears and anxieties and worries that you have as a believer. But I want you to notice something. This is really important. I want you to notice, and you take your Bible and you look with me at the verse 14. Because look what it says. Notice how it's worded in chapter 9 and verse 14. And it shall come to pass, now underline the words, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. When I bring a bow or a cloud over the earth. Do you know that God controls the natural world and the clouds? And He says, when I bring a cloud. So any clouds that are forming today have done so at God's command. Whether it's cumulonimbus or cumulostratus, if I remember my geography when I was a younger person, no doubt there are other clouds as well. They all gather, they all form, and you could look across the sky and it's never the same. The clouds are different, different shapes, different sizes. Some are just little puffs of smoke, as it were. Some are heavy, some are long, they're just like mountains. Some are dark and foreboding, some are pure white. Some let in a little bit of the blue sky. Some let the sun shine through. Can I tell you something? God gathers those clouds together. When I bring a cloud over the earth. And now we're talking spiritually here, aren't we? So God brings the clouds over your sky and mine spiritually. God is in control of the very movement and formation of the clouds naturally. But I tell you, spiritually, he's in control of your spiritual clouds and sky. And so whatever is happening in your life and mine right now, whether it's good or whether it's bad, God is permitting it to happen. Because he has a plan, he has a glorious purpose. He has caused the formation of those clouds over your spiritual sky. And if your sky's bright and there's very little cloud, your God has created that horizon and that firmament and that sky spiritually for you. And if your sky is thick with dark clouds and it's not the same as someone else's sky, can I tell you, God has formed the clouds. When I bring a cloud, God has brought them together, and he has darkened them or brightened them according to his divine will. God is permitting it to happen. He's always working providentially with and for us. Do you know what the word providence means? It comes from two words. The word pro, which means before. Pro, before. And it comes from another word, video, and we're conscious of that, which means to see, to view. And when you bring both words together, that's what providence means. It means that God has seen before and he has made provision. That's exactly what it means. Providence, simply put, means God sees beforehand and he provides for what he sees. Now, if you write down the word providence, and I challenge you to do that today, unless my English is as bad as people say it is, if you write down the word providence today, you must first begin by writing the word provide. P-R-O-V-I-D-E-N-C-E. Provide. So the providence of God simply means this, that God sees every event before it occurs. And then he provides for that event and he makes sure it fits into your plan for your life and his will for your life. Now, some bows in the dark clouds of sorrow and affliction are these. Did the Lord Jesus Christ not say, when the dark clouds of anxiety and trouble settled over the disciples and they couldn't understand the language that he was talking, I'm going to depart. I'll be crucified. I'll be taken from you. And they were perplexed at that statement. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 13:7, and I'll tell you this, this bow is in every single cloud that happens to you and me because we don't understand everything. Jesus said, what a rainbow of promise. What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Thou knowest not now. So the Lord says to us, there are some things you just cannot fathom and you cannot understand. And listen, a minister, a pastor, a preacher, a counselor, a best friend, a fellow believer, those that are into psychiatry, they don't have the answer because it's beyond us. You cannot understand God's ways. They're past finding out. What I do now, thou knowest not. It's impossible for you to understand. It's like the little child. Brother Robert used the reference earlier on about the strength of the child. It's so weak they couldn't even open an adult's hand. And by the way, I've done that myself. I've done that myself with my boys. But when they get a bit older, they can take that little finger near, break it, and you have to open the hand. But I'll say this to you. It's like the little child sitting in primary 1. Or primary 2 and it's beginning to do either the alphabet or the multiplication tables or the times tables. And all of a sudden it begins and it doesn't even know that 2 ones are 2. But then you come along with a fraction. You come along with some big sum that's in brackets and has to be worked out. You come along with what they call the Bodmas principle and try to teach that to a 5-year-old. Or try to bring them into advanced maths. Or try to explain to them what the comparative or the superlative is in English grammar. Or what it means to split the infinitive. They haven't a clue. They don't have the capacity to understand that. You can teach them. You can show it to them. You can read it to them. You can get them to write it down. But they don't understand. I'm telling you, we're like little children when it comes to God's workings in our lives. What I do now, thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter, when you get perfect wisdom in heaven. There are some things that we'll never know the reason behind it until we reach glory. When we're made perfect and we have perfect understanding and perfect wisdom, and we'll bow the knee then and we'll worship a perfect God who had a perfect plan in my life. We might even have to say, sorry, Lord, for not trusting you more. I'm sorry for rebelling against you. Can I say to you, some things are too deep. Some things are beyond our understanding. But even in the midst of affliction and sorrow and pain and even loss, death itself, when you cannot fathom why, at times like that, we've just got to trust the Lord that He'll do what's right. His way is perfect. We've got to trust His love. Look to the Lord, for there's a rainbow of promise there. And we know what a rainbow of promise this is. That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. How can that be? This sorrow, this pain, this hurt, this loss, this dark cloud, Lord, how could that ever work for my good? What I do now, thou knowest not. But friend, can I tell you there's another rainbow in there as well? We could put so many in. They're jumping out of the Bible and say, use me. Put me in there. I want to shine in that dark cloud. What about Jeremiah 29 and 11? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh, child of God, let me put one last one in there. In the dark clouds of sorrow and affliction and trouble, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear thou not. There's another one. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Here's another one. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, for I will help thee, saith the Lord. And then I want you to think finally of the dark cloud of declension and the rainbow of God's prospect. It's a dark cloud over society morally. There's a dark cloud over the church doctrinally. I believe that this dark cloud has been there for a long time and it's starting to thicken. It's getting darker, believe me. And I see now what the way this world's going. It's in decline. It's not getting better. People tell us technology's moving on. Medical discovery and scientific discovery and so on and so on. The earth's getting better and better and better. Can I tell you morally? The earth is in declension. It's hastening to the day of judgment when God will call the nations into account for what they've done against His law in pushing forth the murder of the unborn and promoting the abomination of sodomy and many other things in gambling and desecration of the Lord's day and the denial of the rights of born-again Christians and the persecution of the church. It's all happening in the earth. And no doubt as we gaze around this world, there's a continual deterioration in morals and there's a corruption of society as a whole. And the devil is alive on planet Earth. The law of God has been abandoned by many and replaced by secular and liberal laws. There's little or no thought of God in their deliberation. God has been put out of the schoolroom, legislated out of government and the courtroom, and has no place in society, even in places where you would imagine God's word would be honored and upheld. There's further apostasy from God. Churches and Christian societies have become liberal and compromising in their convictions and in their beliefs, if they have any at all. And the Lord is often left out in their programs. It's programs of self-confidence. It's programs of self-asserting. It's programs of helping your neighbor and doing the best you can. And there's no mention of the cross in their message, no mention of the blood, no need to repent according to them, no need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have some form of belief in God and that'll do you. Sadly, let's narrow the circle. Even among in evangelical circles in Western society, there's a downgrade in reference to preaching and to the contending of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Prayer has been neglected. Holy living is frowned upon as something that's archaic. Evangelizing is burdensome to many churches and viewed by others in extreme theology as profitless. Good works have almost disappeared. That's practical Christianity. Love to Christ has grown cold, and these are dark clouds over the church and over society spiritually. But listen to me. Things are not improving in this world, and sadly, according to Scripture, prior to the second coming of Christ, perilous times are yet to come. But for the child of God, the eye of faith does not just see the dark clouds, although we're conscious of them and we're concerned about them. But we see the rainbow of prospect. We see the dark clouds of declension and the beautiful rainbow of prospect. And what is that prospect? I'll tell you what it is. The second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We could throw in other rainbows as well by the way of prospect. All things are possible with God. So no matter how difficult the day, we know that all things are possible with God. I will build my church. What a rainbow that is in a day of declension and departure. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God can save, therefore. God can still revive at will. God can bless and use His word, and He will accomplish His purposes upon the earth. But most importantly, in the midst of the dark and foreboding clouds of declension, there is the rainbow of the promise of Christ's return. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, heaven, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." That is, I go to Calvary to die for your sins and open the way to heaven. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, heaven, then I will come again. Now that's a bow of promise. That's a covenant between Christ and His church. Just as God made a covenant with Noah and promised He would never flood this earth entirely and destroy the earth by a flood. And every time we see a rainbow, we remember God is love. God keeps His word. So I tell you, amidst the dark, foreboding clouds of declension and departure, there's the rainbow of prospect. Jesus said, and I believe Him, "I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So the most thrilling, glorious truth in all of the Bible, apart from the day when Christ saved us at Calvary, is His second coming. Christ returning to this earth personally, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. It will be literal and visible. This same Jesus, Acts 1, which ye see go into heaven, shall come in so like manner as ye have seen Him go. He'll come in glory, He'll come in great power, He'll come with holy angels and saints made perfect, but He'll come unexpectedly. "In an hour when ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And when He does so, now remember this, what a prospect. Listen to me. When Jesus Christ comes again, He will right all wrongs. So much injustice today. And you feel it, and do you not feel angry? Do you not feel responsible to stand up for injustice and to call it out? Of course you do. If you see the weak being persecuted, as a believer, you have a duty to defend the weak, to stand up for what's right. But I'll tell you this, it seems you're put down. It seems that you're not listened to. But I'll tell you this, all rights, all wrongs will be put right. All sin will be judged. God will vindicate His believing people. He will set up the everlasting kingdom of his dear son, and he will reign forever and forever. Now it's interesting to note that when Christ comes again to this earth, he comes with clouds. What a remarkable thing. And in that cloud, Christ will appear. Behold, he cometh, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen, so shall it be. And there shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming, listen to it, in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, Matthew 24:30. So in the clouds we shall see the rainbow of prospect. And guess what? Now listen to me as I close. Guess what? The rainbow is a person. He's in the clouds. We talked about the natural rainbow in the dark clouds that we see in the natural realm. We talked about the spiritual promises of God seen in the dark clouds that come over your spiritual sky. But one day that rainbow will become a person. Christ will be in the cloud. We'll not just be looking at a rainbow naturally or a rainbow of promise spiritually, but at a person. And there he is in the clouds, coming in the clouds of heaven in great power and glory. And so this time it will be our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Listen to this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and to meet the Lord in the air. We shall be caught up to meet the Lord. And there we shall be forever with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. We shall join the Lord in the clouds. What a glorious prospect awaits us as those that are saved by grace. And as I close, could I speak to any who are listening today that are not saved? They don't know Christ as their Savior. For when those dark clouds of God's righteous judgment literally cover this earth, and they come over your head, there's no rainbow of prospect. There's no person that can help you on that day. But sinner friend, there is no hope for you if you're not saved. But today there is a rainbow of promise under the impending dark cloud of God's future judgment and hell itself. And that is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God loves sinners. He sent his only begotten, well-beloved Son into this world to die for sinners. And the rainbow of promised salvation is in the sky for you. And all you've got to do is look to a person, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, to a finished work, his sorrows and sufferings at Calvary, to the precious shed blood, his death instead of you. And he says, look unto me. What a rainbow of promise. And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none else. Come unto me. What a promise and rainbow of promise that is. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I am the door. I am the way. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out, aye, and find pasture. And through Christ's finished work today, and his precious shed blood, and the imputation of his righteousness when you believe, you can be saved, forgiven, have peace with God, and know that it's well with your soul. Oh, the rainbow of promised salvation is in the clouds of God's dark impending judgment. And you've got to come to Christ. Believe on him and freely take of the offer of his salvation, lest there be no bow of promise, lest there be no token in the dark sky, lest there be no person left to save you, and you'd perish under the darkness and blackness of darkness forever. There's no cloud like the darkness and blackness of hell. But there are no clouds in heaven. All is sunshine forevermore, And Christ is there and his people are there. Wonder, will you be there? I trust you will. Come, sinner, come and trust the Saviour. And for you, child of God, in every dark cloud, I want you to look for the bow of promise. Let's bow in prayer, please. Father, we do thank thee today for a sense of the divine presence. We thank thee for thy word to our hearts. We've been trying, Lord, to look at things topically. We've thought, Lord, of those rainbows that are across the province. We think, Lord, of the theme behind it, Lord, the rainbow of hope, the rainbow of promised joy later on, when children will be able to go out and play and see their friends again. And that's what's inspired it all. And while we see it as commendable, yet, Lord, there's a bigger picture here. We think, Lord, of the sinner separated from God, never be able to enter heaven again because of the coronavirus of sin for which there is no cure except through the finished work and precious shed blood. We think, O God, of sinners who will die in their sin if they do, if they're not saved, and there's no rainbow of hope or promise or prospect in eternity. May they come today and realize what a wonderful bow of promise there is. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, bless thy word beyond the reach of the enemy. Sanctify the word to our hearts, and sanctify us in the service of Christ. Come and bless us and do us good. And Father, save the lost. Restore the backslider. Revive the church. And Father, glorify thy dear Son. And the people of God said, Amen and Amen.